Governor Tony Evers has vetoed new legislative maps proposed by Republican state lawmakers. It's Wednesday, January 31st, and this is Wisconsin Today. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Coming up on the show today, the Wisconsin Elections Commission needs to create new rules on absentee ballots after a Dane County judge's ruling, and a new highway designation in western Wisconsin honoring World War II veterans from the Ho-Chunk Nation is being considered by state lawmakers. Stay with us.
Agriculture, healthcare, education, you know what's going on in Wisconsin thanks to the Wisconsin Today podcast. And thanks to you, these stories are available to Wisconsinites everywhere. Give now at wpr.org/givewitoday.
Governor Tony Evers has vetoed legislative maps proposed by Republican state lawmakers. The impasse means it's likely now that the Wisconsin Supreme Court will enact new maps ahead of the November election. Last week, Republican lawmakers introduced and passed their maps over a 24-hour period with no public hearings and no Democratic support. They claim the maps were nearly identical to what Evers sent the court, but with changes to reduce the number of GOP incumbents being drawn out of their districts. In a recorded message released by his office, Evers called that gerrymandering.
Allowing politicians to move district lines so that their party can retain political power doesn't help root out gerrymandering from our democracy. It further entrenches it, and that's wrong.
Republican leaders in the state assembly and Senate said Evers' maps are gerrymandered. They say the veto shows Democrats are confident the Supreme Court's liberal majority will enact new maps favoring their party. Wisconsin Republicans are once again, meanwhile, calling on Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Janet Protasiewicz to recuse herself from hearing a case about redistricting. Anya Van Wagtendonk has more on a challenge to Wisconsin's congressional maps.
A lawsuit filed last week seeks to change Wisconsin's U.S. House districts. Republican members of Congress and the legislature have filed a motion calling on Protasiewicz to recuse herself from that process. They argue she prejudged the case on the campaign trail and would be influenced by campaign donations from Democrats. Republicans used those same arguments last year to say that Protasiewicz shouldn't hear a case challenging state legislative maps. She ultimately did hear the case. And in late December, she joined the rest of the court's liberal majority to find those maps unconstitutional. The Wisconsin Supreme Court has not yet said whether it will hear the congressional lawsuit. Anya Van Wagtendonk, Wisconsin Public Radio.
A Dane County judge has ordered the Wisconsin Elections Commission to write new rules for counting absentee ballots with missing witness address information. Judge Ryan Neil Sestoon issued his order in a permanent injunction yesterday. He ordered the commission to tell clerks they cannot reject absentee ballots if things like a witness's zip code or municipality are missing from the envelope. Neil Sestoon had previously ruled that rejecting ballots for missing witness address information violates the Federal Civil Rights Act of 1964. On Tuesday, he said it required the court to act.
Denying a person their constitutional right due to what could be a trivial error or some other type of error in the witness address warrants injunctive relief.
The ruling stems from lawsuits brought by the League of Women Voters and youth organizing group Rise Incorporated. An attorney for the GOP-controlled state legislature is planning an appeal. Wisconsin students who miss 30 or more days of school could be held back a grade under one of several truancy bills. Since the pandemic, students across the country have struggled to make it to school, and that's left educators, parents, and now politicians looking for answers. In Wisconsin, nearly a quarter of students missed at least a month of class in the 2021-2022 school year. Newer data won't be available till March. A handful of GOP proposals are now being introduced in the legislature to try and address the issue. That includes holding students back who are chronically absent. Other bills would change how schools notify parents of truancies and how absences are classified. Representatives from the State Department of Public Instruction say holding students back would be ineffective and could increase the dropout rate. DPI officials also worry students of color would be disproportionately affected. Music. state lawmakers are considering a new highway designation in western Wisconsin that would honor World War II veterans from the Ho-Chunk Nation for their work as code talkers. Hope Kerwin has more on a public hearing held on the bill.
The bill would designate Interstate 90 in La Crosse County and part of Monroe County as the Ho-Chunk World War II Code Talkers Memorial Highway. Native American code talkers served in both World Wars, using their native language to send messages over the radio in a code that was never broken. National recognition for these service members didn't come until decades later, when the U.S. government declassified the program. Sandy Winishek is Veteran Service Officer for the Ho-Chunk Nation. She helped identify 14 Ho-Chunk members who served as code talkers. She spoke at a public hearing on Tuesday in support of the highway designation.
It's been a long road. I'm really honored to be able to do this for the families.
The legislation passed the state Senate earlier this month and has bipartisan support in the Assembly. Hope Kerwin, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Coming up, a Potawatomi-style corn soup recipe has been passed down for generations in one family. In today's Wisconsin Life, we'll learn more about their tradition. Stay with us.
You know you can count on WPR for news that's important, music that makes your day better, and conversations that make you think. We hope you'll make a financial contribution to support the radio service you rely on, and in fact, we count on it. The single largest portion of our budget comes from listener support. If you're not a member yet, make a gift of any amount today at WPR.org. Thank you.
And finally, it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Maureen McCullum with a story about a food tradition.
Corn has been grown for thousands of years across North America, and tribes have been making different variations of corn soups for generations. WPR's Daniel Kading caught up with a Red Cliff tribal member who cooks a Potawatomi-style corn soup handed down from her husband's family. It's part of the Wisconsin Life series, Food Traditions.
Yeah, so what I'm going to do is just take some of the meat off of the pork neck bones and put it back into the stock.
That's Sarah Gordon Altman, or Nagano Sekwe in Ojibwe. She's preparing a Potawatomi-style corn soup. The recipe comes from her husband's mother, and it's made with a white corn variety that comes from Walpole Island First Nation. It's home to a community of Potawatomi, Ojibwe, and Ottawa in Canada.
I'll just get this meat cut up, and I'll show you the corn. After that,
she's using a white dent corn that's made into hominy through nixtamalization. That's a process where kernels are cooked and steeped in an alkaline solution like calcium hydroxide or lye. She says the corn is processed using hardwood ashes that contain a lye-like substance to help remove the outer hull.
And you can grind it, and that's what you make masa for, like tortillas and things like that out of. And when you do that, it actually makes it nutrient rich and available for you. But if you just eat corn that's ground, you cannot get the nutrients out of it until it's nixtamalized.
Long ago, she says people would heat stones that had lime in them and add those to water, creating the right conditions to remove the corn's outer hull. She says that process was carried north from Mexico to tribes in the Midwest through trade routes.
So this food, this kind of corn soup idea, is something that crosses all over the continent. Like, it's a huge thing, but every different, you know, tribe has their own form of it. And so this is the Potawatomi way of doing it, basically.
On the stove, she sautés onions for the soup. On a back burner, navy beans and smoked meat simmer in a broth that she cooked for hours the night before. Typically, she and her husband make this soup in the fall, and she adds her own twist to the meal with homemade tortillas that are dipped in the dish.
Yeah, my kids last night when I started making the broth, they were like, "Are you making bacon? Is that bacon? What's that delicious smell?" I'm like, no, it's smoked meat. And they're like, "Oh, can we have some?" It's like, it's not ready yet.
She's a member of the Red Cliff Band of Lake Superior Chippewa on her dad's side. That's where her father grew up. She says he and her husband gravitated to these large soups.
Naboop is what we call it in Ojibwe. And it's something that you would use all winter long because a lot of our ingredients were dried. Like manumin wild rice would have been dried. You could dry this hominy and carry it where it's actually dehydrated.
She adds in dried ramps, which are dehydrated wild onions harvested from the forest.
The other thing that I'm going to add a little bit of is some black pepper.
Once the hominy is added, she says it doesn't take long before it's ready to serve.
That's it. We're ready to roll here. I'm going to get a bowl.
The dish reminds her of the summer she spent on her grandpa's farm in Fond du Lac. She and her brother would play in grain bins filled with field corn that would be used as feed for dairy cows. Her husband has been going to Walpole Island to haul bags of corn for processing for years.
And they have community harvesting events. So they'll go out and the tribe will just cut all the corn down, and you go out and you just haul away whatever corn your family needs for the year.
She says she feels good that her kids get to grow up eating traditional foods like this.
These foods are their favorite things because these are their home-cooked meals, and that's like what I really like, that they get to keep those food traditions alive.
Not only that, she says they hear stories of where these dishes came from and see how they're made from start to finish.
WPR's Danielle Kading brought us that story. It's part of a project from Wisconsin Life called Food Traditions, a multimedia exploration of food, culture, and identity. Find more stories at wisconsinlife.org/foodtraditions. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lola and Mary Peterson of Appleton. I'm Maureen McCollum.
And that'll do it for this Wednesday. I gotta say, been a little warmer lately, but still good soup weather. I might have to add it to the menu for this week. Thanks for joining us for Wisconsin Today. I'm your host, Alex Crow, and the people putting the show together today are producers from Valerie Chang and John Davis. As always, we'll be right here in your podcast feed tomorrow morning, so have a great rest of your day. We'll talk to you again soon.